And before we go any further, a couple of times a year, we have the rare privilege of seeing our missionaries face to face. This morning, Don Korak is with us. Most of you know, Sherry and I just spent 9 days in Central America with Don, and he happens to be here today. And so before we go any further, Brother Don, I want him to come and share with you a little bit about what's happening in his life in Costa Rica. And so will you make welcome this morning our missionary to Costa Rica and Central America and South America, Don Korak. I'll get that stand.
It's all right. Good morning, church. You look sharp today. It's funny what a few degrees in the calendar, what the temperature will do to you, huh? You warm up a little bit, you're like more alive. I want to see a 20 below, see if you're still breathing. Jim, thank you. As you know, your pastors were with us. Pastor Jim and Sherry were with us, it feels like about 10 minutes ago, but it was a few weeks ago. And Marie Rose with us was with us a few months ago. I appreciate so much that you let them come. Your people are a lot tougher than me, and so they did a great job. You know, I just survived, but they came, they did a great job. We had a great time with the Nobis. Let me personally thank you for the help that we've done with the Nobis. You guys have made it happen. I just appreciate you so, so very much. You know, every time we do a project like that, you run into a few issues. You know, there's a lot of planning, a lot of preparation that goes on. And then there's surprises. Now, here in Minnesota, you don't know what a surprise is, but that's part of my life where I live. So some are good and some are not so good. A couple interesting surprises was we had to have transportation there, so we got the best transportation we could. I buried a four-wheel drive vehicle in the mud, axle deep. That was the surprise. But we got out, no problem. So we had to deal with mud. We had to deal with weather. Never ask a Noe how's the road condition. He has no idea because he's not driving. Well, he walks there, so he don't care what. It's fine. Roads are good. I just walk past, no problem. But he forgot to tell you that you might be in a vehicle, so don't ever ask him. He has no idea. We began there with our hope to train and equip students. It went very, very well. They stayed with us. You know, we complain and fuss about getting there with them and all this stuff. It doesn't matter. They walked to get there. They were great, faithful people, very committed. We're thrilled to be a part of their equipping and their training. It was great. One of the surprises that was disappointing to me, and Motley stepped in and saved the day, was a church came in alongside of us and said, we're going to help you. And when we were halfway through, they said, you know what? We're not going to do that anymore. That brings a little crisis into my life. That was like, I wasn't very happy, as you can imagine. And because what am I going to tell the Nobis? Oh, we're not doing you anymore. Thanks a lot. Good for you. I'm staying home from now on. But you guys stepped in. You as a church, your board stepped in and financially just made all that happen. And I just appreciate that. So they finished. The Nobis never knew there was a problem. And they did a great job, and you guys did a wonderful job. So thank you so much for that. I really, really appreciate that. Little Motley reached into the Nobis. You guys are famous in the Nobi. People just say, you know, if you ever go to and you meet a Nobi, just say, I'm from Motley, and they'll know who you are. You really make a difference. Let me bring up on a speed of just a couple things that are happening. I did sneak up to Minnesota just for a few days. Needed to see my folks, or wanted to see my folks, I should say, so that was great. Soon as I get back, there'll be a graduation in Heredia. That means nothing to you, but the neat thing about Heredia, but it's a little group of about 15 graduates, and they're a group of a pastor from this side of the country and a group from that side of the country, and they've come together and have been with us now for 2 years studying, so that they're going to graduate as soon as I get back. There's a couple more groups finishing up. The good thing about them is one is a group that I've been with for years, and the other group is one that totally embraced the virtual campus that we have. And so when pastors say, no, you can't do that, it has to be paper, it has to be ink, I say, but what about this guy? They're doing a great job with it. So I'm thrilled that they're about ready to wrap up. I was just in Guatemala for a few hours wrote for 48 hours just about a week ago, a week and a half ago. And so now new groups of churches are going to start in Guatemala. I'm very excited about Guatemala because that's where I first visited. And so anytime I can go back there, it's always a thrill to go back to Guatemala. The last time I was here, I mentioned to you Venezuela. Venezuela has gone, I don't know what to say. You know, we say from bad to worse, but what's after worse? I don't know. But that's where they are. Just to give you an idea, their economy and their currency has disintegrated to this point. Their great leader, their great wise dictator, decided, I'll just knock some zeros off of the currency so it's easier to print. So he decided to knock off 5 zeros. So that would mean if you had $1,000 today, it's worth a penny. So their currency is disintegrated. They've got huge, huge problems. And the problems are just exhausting. It's just tremendous. The neighboring countries, we have great friends and works in Colombia. Colombia now has a huge homeless problem, and it's all Venezuelans that have been thrown out of the country or snuck out of the country, left their country, and are trying to see what happens in Colombia. It's huge. Panama, a nation that is pridefully international, closed the door and said, don't come here, we don't need you anymore. Because they just can't handle that many people. So Venezuela's not getting any better. Sorry, they haven't gotten any better. However, our school is still there. I still talk to people all the time. I just talked to somebody just before I came here. Bible school's doing fine. We're going to send in more materials end of September, 1st of October. So we're still there. We're still doing stuff, even though Colombia's a disaster, or Venezuela's still a disaster. You know, you can still preach the gospel in a disaster place. Amen? So we're thrilled to be there, helping to equip the saints, even a very, very hard place like Venezuela. So we're thrilled to be there. Thank you so much for lending us your pastors. Thank you so much for being a part of the Nobis. We're excited about what we've done with the Nobis. We're excited about what we will do with the Nobis. The next step with them is to continue training, equipping our present graduates, and to have them equip and train in the local church. So now my students will become teachers, so I'm excited about that. Pastor Jim, thank you so much. Appreciate you, church. You guys are great. Thank you.
What Don does is just a bigger picture of what our teenagers did with Tasha and Grace last week, and Kayla today shared about their little missions trip and their exposure to that. Don does that every day, every year on a very large scale. And so thank you, Don, for doing what you do. It's a different world. It really is. And unless you, and Kayla said this earlier, unless you have experienced it, and every Christian should, every American Christian should, we just aren't aware. And so I just am so encouraged by what our missionaries do around the globe, especially Don in Central and South America. Let's get right to it. We don't have a lot of time left, but I want to talk to you again from Matthew chapter 7, if you've got your Bible. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 7. I'm going to spend a few minutes, verses 7 through 11. Just a couple of more Sundays coming up in the future. We're going to wrap up the Sermon on the Mount series, the last two. I hope to get them over the next 3 weeks, and the last two topics, and just wrap up the whole Sermon on the Mount series. And so Matthew chapter 7 is where we are at today. And I think everybody probably at one point in their life maybe memorized Matthew 7:7. It's really simple. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now let me set this in context for a moment before I go any further. If you have spent any time in the Sermon on the Mount, like a lot of us have over this series this summer, we realize all this stuff that Jesus shared with his would-be followers, this is how you follow me. We started way back, this congregation, because we're looking at the series on Sermon on the Mount, we started way back when talking about being salt and light for him, noticeable, in other words, for him. And we saw all kinds of things like forgiving those that have wronged us and loving our enemies and praying for those that persecute us. We saw all of this stuff, and there's a lot more in the Sermon on the Mount. And so we've seen these things, and I've told us over and over and over as we've gone through the Sermon on the Mount, this stuff is impossible on our own. But with Jesus, we must first and foremost surrender our lives to Jesus and allow His Spirit to help us in these things. And so now we get to this point where He said all this stuff, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, on how to follow Christ. And here we get to this verse that says, you want to know how? Then ask me. You want to know how to live these ways that I have just instructed? Then seek me. You want to know how to carry out what I have just instructed you over these days, over these hours, whatever it was in the Sermon on the Mount? Then keep knocking. Keep looking unto me. That is the only way we will ever be obedient to the teachings of Jesus. If we keep asking and we keep seeking and we keep knocking. And He said very clearly, everyone who asks receives. Hallelujah. The Nobe people were asking. And thanks to people like Don, Mutual Faith, and others that come along financially to get them the tools, the materials Don and his team taught them, they kept asking. And God provided to the Nobe people. And I trust He will provide to the people of Venezuela too. The saints that are there, even though the Venezuelan government is in shambles, the body of Christ can rise up out of ashes when they keep asking and we keep seeking and we keep knocking. The body of Christ will come forth and rise up. Jesus said, everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. And then He gives us this little example. Like, just try me and see, so to speak. When He says, or what man is there among you who, if his son asks him for bread, will you give him a stone? He's making this comparison. Your kids might ask you something, or your neighbor or whatever. You're going to give them garbage? He's giving them this example. Or if your son asks you for a fish, will you give him a serpent? And of course the answer is no. I love him. I'm going to take care of him. And Jesus says in His words, if you then being evil, people, everyday common people, us, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? I say, hallelujah. He is willing, He is able to give us what we need, not necessarily what we want always. Sometimes our wants and needs are different, are they not? Can I get a witness? I tried to instruct this in my children early, especially my son. He seemed to, he's not here, and he hopefully no one will tell on me. But he seemed to have this wants list that was much longer than the needs list. And I likened him to that book that I used to read to the kids long time ago, the Berenstain Bears, about the grab and gimmies. Always wanted to grab something, always wanted something more. Anyway, my point is, our wants and needs are different, and God knows what they are. I was talking to somebody just the other day. Let me ask you this before I go there. Have you ever been to a point in your prayer life, you're saying, Jim, I'm just not hearing from the Lord. I'm thinking I'm going to give up. I talked to somebody just the other day. Met him on the street as I was out and about in town here. Started talking about situation that he finds himself in. And I assured him, I and the church, we would pray for you. And he kind of indicated, doesn't seem to be doing any good. been sick, you've been praying, and I'm getting sicker. Have you been there? And I told him, brother, it's not in the good days when our faith gets stronger. It's when the going gets harder and we really have to trust and depend upon the living God that our faith grows. And Jesus said here, and I believe it, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. I believe it. Now, it may not be in my time or may not even be my way, but He knows our needs. He knows better than we do what we need. And I believed these verses, and I said to the brother that day, when he basically said to me, why bother? I said to him, because Jesus said, keep asking. In this passage of Scripture, we are reminded we need to be persistent. Keep asking. Sometimes you feel like, He's not answering me, preacher. I'm done with it. I have had people tell me these things, and way too often I've heard it over and over and over. And sometimes perhaps even us, we feel nothing is happening in our prayer life and we want to give up. Our attempts at prayer are perhaps growing weaker because we've not seen anything, and we conclude He's not listening, or sometimes people conclude even worse, He doesn't care. That's not what this verse says. He says, keep asking and keep seeking and keep knocking. And I'm suggesting to us, don't give up just because you haven't seen Him move mountains in your case today. Do not give up on asking and seeking and knocking. He loves you. How many times did He tell the 12, oh, you of little faith? He probably could say that about us too when we want to give up. I'm here to remind us, don't give up, friends. Keep asking. Let me move on because the time is moving on very, very quickly. I have stated, and I mentioned this today and before, that the things that we have learned in the Sermon on the Mount are not doable in the flesh. We need the Lord. We need the Lord. We need to surrender our lives to Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. We need to allow the Holy Spirit of God to come into our life and to move us and to direct us and to strengthen us. We need the Lord, or none of this is doable. As a matter of fact, who wants to love their enemies? That's one of the things we looked at. That does not come naturally for me. Does it come naturally for you? That's what He's talking about here. These things are not natural in the flesh. That's why we get to 7:7 and He says, ask Me. Keep seeking Me. Keep looking to Me, because you're not going to get this done on your own. That's why He gives us this encouragement, this boost. He's toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and He gives us this boost. He gives us encouragement and boost to keep going and keep trusting Me. I will help you with these instructions I have just given you. Who doesn't struggle, especially in America, with laying up treasures on earth? And He said, don't do it, but lay yourselves up treasures in heaven. How are we going to do that? We need to trust Him. We need to seek Him and keep asking Him. That's how. And so all of this stuff, some of it we didn't have time to look at. He talked about worry. Who doesn't worry? He talked about all of this stuff. Praying for your enemies, loving your enemies. Who can do that? Who even wants to without Him? That's why the instruction we get here in 7:7. Keep asking Him to help us and to lead us and to guide us. Now, may I say this about this verse, too, before I bring this all to close. The statement that Jesus makes here in 7:7 is not a blank check to get whatever I want. Are you hearing me this morning? It's not a blank check to say, well, Jim, you just got done saying, ask and you shall receive. I want to win the lottery. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about what he has just instructed us for three chapters. People ask me all the time, well, is it God's will that I ask for $1 million? We should be able to answer that. This statement that he gives us here is not a statement that ask whatever you want and poof, I'm some genie in a bottle and you get it. That's not what he's saying. One of the things that we have to understand about this verse is we have to understand what I have said. The teachings that he has taught us in 5, 6, and 7. I'm going to need help with this, Lord. I'm going to need help loving my enemies. I'm going to need help praying for those that are messing with my kids or my grandkids or my livelihood. You know what I'm talking about? I'm going to need help with that. That's why he's saying, ask and you shall receive. Asking for his guidance to follow him is a lot different than asking to win the lottery. You see the difference? This is not a blank statement that says, preacher, he told me I can ask for whatever I want and God's going to give it to me. And if he don't give it to me, then I ain't trust him. That's not what he's saying. Don't get me wrong. One of the things we have to ask ourselves when we see about this ask, seek, and knock, does it line up with his teachings? Does it line up with his will? Are you hearing me? Does what I'm asking for line up with the will of God? You say, Jim, what's his will? What's in his word? That we should know him, that we should be led by his spirit, that we should be holy people, that we should love him, that we should love our neighbors as ourselves. All these things that he just got done teaching us, that we shouldn't worry, that we shouldn't lust. That's his will. Does my prayer, does my longing to seek him and to ask him and to know him more, does it line up with his will? Because when it does, he is right there to fulfill what Jesus said when he said, ask and it will be given to you. Ask for wisdom how to get through today. Some days I can hardly get through the day, much less the next event ahead of me for another 2 weeks. Ask and it will be given to you. Strength for today. Guidance for the next issue in life. Guidance and strength and hope for the next hurdle in life. That's what he's talking about. Now, because our time is already up, I'm going to close with this and then we're going to sing. In the last two or three verses there, 9, 10, and 11, he gives us that little example about when our son or our daughter or spouse, you fill in the blanks, he said son to the father, asks us for something simple in life, are you going to give him something completely bogus? He asks you for a piece of bread. Are you going to give him a stone? He asks you for a piece of fish. You going to give him a snake or a serpent? And the answer is no. Don't be ridiculous. I love my son, daughter, wife, whatever. It's the same with the Father. Are you seeing it, brothers and sisters? That's why he's saying here, who among you, when you ask, your son asks you about this, that, or the thing, you're going to do good. You see, you probably know a little better than what your son or daughter or grandchild might be asking. You might know a little better about their needs versus their wants. You know what I'm talking about? They want a belly full of candy. You might be thinking like me, I think I know better than that. You probably don't need a belly full of candy. It's the same way with our Heavenly Father. It's the same way here when Jesus said, how much more Will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You see, friends, next week, Brother Charles is going to share with you, and then the 2 weeks after that, I'm going to share two more sermons from the Sermon on the Mount. You see, Jesus has been equipping the saints here for three chapters, and we've been looking at that off and on since spring. He's instructing us in the ways of Jesus. He's calling us to be obedient. And the best way we're going to be obedient is to invite him to help us, to keep asking him, to keep seeking him, to keep knocking and looking to him for help. Can't do it on our own. Walking with Jesus is not for the faint of heart. It's worth it, but it's not for the faint of heart. And that's why he says to us, your Father in heaven who knows what you need to encounter this difficulty or this sin or this hurdle or this tragedy, your Father knows what you need. Ask him, trust him, seek him, and keep knocking. That's what he's asking of us. That's what he's asking of us, to come alongside what God is doing and calling us, to come alongside his work and trust him. That's what he's saying in these verses. You can ask for a lottery ticket or the winning lottery ticket all you want. I don't know if you're going to get it or not, but I'm pretty sure that's not his will. His will is that we seek him on the teachings that he has taught us, and that we draw closer and closer to him. Jane, let's get ready. Abide with me. His will is what we should be asking about, seeking, and knocking. In a couple weeks, we'll look at a couple more topics to wrap this Sermon on the Mount all up. Important, very, very important topics. But this is important too. Trust him and seek him moment by moment. Father, that is our prayer. That is our heart's cry today, that you would abide with us. And that as we ask you and seek you and knock looking for you, that you would continue to guide us, this congregation, but your church in America and around the globe, that you would guide your church, Father, to a closeness to you that's transformational. Help us, Father, in this pathway called life to be your ambassadors, salt and light, obedient to the teachings of Jesus the Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit. Use us, O God, to bring you glory, I pray. Abide with us moment by moment. There are those today that are hurting, Lord. Maybe they've lost their loved ones. We've done a lot of funerals lately. Maybe they've just been through surgery. Maybe something else has come up. Father, abide with each and every one. Draw us close, encourage, strengthen, heal, forgive, save the lost. Glorify your name now and always, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.